involved with the press in any way throughout later life, or was it just something connected to when you were very young?
It's literally from when I was very young.
Yeah.
I have been asked time and time again to do stuff, but I always decline.
Yeah. Why?
I live in a normal street, in a normal town, and I don't think I've done anything that warrants being in the newspapers. I just want to live a normal life as possible. And becoming a pseudo personality isn't what I want to do. So I ignore my... I mean, if anything goes on, like there happens to be a campaign, then I will lend support wherever I can. But I still, even then, try and keep out of the media. Because I find with other thalidomiders, it can be positive, but it also has a lot of negativity with it.
Yeah.
The who do you think you are syndrome. And the general public.
In terms of the media attention that you did have when you were younger, though, was that mostly sort of newspaper articles?
Newspapers. I done a short documentary and a TV interview.
And do you know what they were called? Have you got copies of them?
No. One was for... I can't remember. I know one, the documentary I did, grew because of it. I got very much unwanted media or attention from the general public. I did it for a show that was going to be shown in America because it was at a time when they hadn't discovered that they had a few thalidomiders. And my mum said I've got to include this one because she got really annoyed at it. And through doing this show, I got a letter from this elderly American woman who'd seen the show and was very impressed, the usual stuff they come out with. And letters went backwards and forwards a few times. And then she said, oh, you must call me your American grandmother. So, okay, I mean, I was only young at the time, but okay, if that's what you want. And then she decided to come over and visit me. Basically, in hindsight, what it turned out to be was the court case was going through. It was spoken of that there was £2 million involved. I don't know where that figure came from. And she assumed that I was getting the £2 million.
So quite a good person to be the grandmother of.
Then. Oh, absolutely. And she came over and my mum and dad picked her up and put her up at our house, which, because it was only small and not used to her ranch-sized house, was quaint. And she just moaned all the time. And then the final straw was, she said to my mum that I was the result of being... bad in a previous life, at which point my mum said it's time you left, and my dad took her to London where she was put herself up into a hotel, and fortunately we never saw her again. So it's stuff like that makes you me wary of media attention.
Yeah, because you don't know, you can't guarantee it's all going to be good attention.
No,
that you're going to get,
no.
Can you?
And it's stuff like that, you know, over the years you see stuff like that, you hear stuff like that, and it does start to make you a little bit cynical.
Yeah.
As to people's motives.
Yeah. So I won't ask you to call me Grandma Ruth then?
Please don't.
All right.
Nana, all maybe.
Then. Yeah, okay. And do you think today, and we talked a little bit before about the difference between thalidomide and other disability groups, and, you know, and there being problems with compensation, and you know, the other disability groups don't get that kind of extra money, and there's bitterness. Do you think that's something that still goes on now, or do you think that's something that sort of died a death back at the time when the...
I think it did die down quite a bit, but now there's various campaigns going on amongst the Thillin Mud community. He's a weird dog.
Dog's licking my feet.
yeah, I think it's going to... The animosity will rear its ugly head again.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Just push it. Frank, go away.
It's all right. I don't mind, honestly. I don't mind. It's quite nice, but it's not quite appropriate. I've my feet being licked. Sorry. And why do you think it will raise its head again right now? Because of the... Because of all the new things.
Yeah, the Grenfell thing again. Yeah. And we're not talking pittance here, we're talking big money.
Yeah.
And when you're born with a different disability and you've had the same hardships as we've had, it must be a bit grueling, really. So I reckon that'll kick off again.
Okay. Your artwork and your choice of using often sort of superheroes and things in your pictures. Mm-hmm. I was having another look at your pictures as well after the interview. I looked at them before when I was preparing the exhibition, but...
You're going to ask if it makes up for my lack of limbs, aren't you?
Well, I was going to try and ask you about it, but not say it in quite such an obvious way, because it's I was more thinking that... I know you said that you were very inspired by the, you know, the sort of comic strip art when you were younger anyway. So you had that in your mind. But I was more sort of interested to know whether, you know, people that just knew you, perhaps online, only know you through your art. Mm-hmm. Are they quite surprised to find out that you're disabled and that you're, you know, using quite different methods of making art to perhaps how they are? Does that surprise people looking at your art?
Yeah. About it, because I belong to various online groups that do art, and initially I wasn't going to tell anybody that I was disabled, because then you get the sympathy vote, and I want them to judge me on my own artwork. So for a good few years, about 4 or 5 years, I never mentioned anything. In fact, I had a very... A lot of the little miners do this. I had a very nicely clipped portrait of me, head and shoulders type thing, which I doctored a little bit to make it even more normal, just so they wouldn't guess.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to a good friend of mine, another little miner, Tommy Yendall, who said, if you want to get out there in the art world, you have to do a proper profile. Let people know you're disabled. So I took him up on his advice, and I went on my sites and said, well, this is me, and describe my disability and why I like art. And initially, I did get a couple of sympathetic responses.
Yeah.
Which I thought, here we go.
You say that with such a look on your face, like, sympathetic responses.
Well, it doesn't mean anything, does it? I mean, it's all, I love your art, it's really good.
Yeah,
even though you just put one line on the piece of paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't do anything for me.
No.
But that quickly disappeared. And I'm very proud to say that I had my first... the other day, somebody actually commented, and I got... an attack for one of my pieces. Now, I think that's really good, because it shows that people are actually looking at it. And if they can attack a piece, it means that they've seriously taken it on board. So I was quite pleased with it.
Which piece did they attack, and why?
You
knew I was going to say that, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people who are friends of mine online all went, really nicely done, but subject matter. I was just mucking about, and I created this large, obese, manic, depressive fella who heavily bloodstained, in a shabby little flat, wearing just his underpants, slashing puppies' heads off. I just wanted to see how dark I could get it.
Mm.
And this fella wrote to me and he said, I am an animal lover, which I don't know what that's got to do with it because I didn't do it to real animals. And I wish I hadn't looked at your picture because it still disturbs me. And I wish you'd get back to your old style and stop doing this type of thing.
Mm.
So I wrote back to him and I'd done the typical artist explanation. And I told him a load of old poop as why I did it. I just simply said that the man was suffering from loneliness, that he'd been shunned all his life, and therefore he didn't know how to show love. Usual artist explanation, you know, if you need to get out of a tight corner, always blame society.
And why did you do it really, though? Was it just literally just to see...
I just want to see how dark I could get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For reaction or just for you?
Well, all art's a reaction, isn't it? So I just wanted to see what I could do. Mm. Originally, I was going to have a child. I thought, that makes it a little bit too difficult. So I used puppies. I mean, I say use puppies. They're meshes. It's not even real, but people get carried away.
Yes.
I mean, I've told my son, he's going into photography. I said, if you ever get caught, if anybody attacks your work, always say it depicts man's inhumanity to man. And as soon as you say that, they always back off, even though they can't see it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you can probably explain it away, can't you?
Mm.
But no, people don't like things being done to puppies.
No.
Or children.
I've done another one that involved a child. It was being saved, actually, but he'd been pretty much blown to bits. And no problem. Put a puppy in, and I'll get outrage.
Mm.
Well, I think that shows you a lot about people.
So you're going to do more like that, or are you going to go back to your old style?
Well, I was... Even Claire said to me, look, it's getting too dark now. So I said, yeah, I know. And I was going to do a lighter one anyway. But I can't now because it looks like I'm backing down from this fella. And it looks like I'm backing down from Claire. So I'm going to have to do another dark one.
What's going to get it next time?
I'm working on clowns. Evil clowns.
Oh, yeah.
They usually frighten people.
Nobody likes clowns.
No. No, it's good though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evil clowns. But the reason why most of my figures are big, stocky blokes is through the comics. I love Superman comics, especially the early ones. And even some of the later ones are really, really well drawn. And also Frank Frazetta.
Yes.
He's quite a hero of mine. And everything must be... if you're drawing people, draw them... Big, drawn comic style, you know. Love it.
And have, because you so anticipated my question, you know, that I might have said, but I didn't say, that, you know, are you drawing people with limbs, you know, to sort of compensate for not having them yourself? Do you get that sort of question?
I've had it, yeah. And I thought myself as well, you know,
yeah.
What are people going to say? A lot of my mates have said I've got a homosexual overtones, and that's why I draw them big. So, but it's not at all. It's just that I like, if you're going to do outlandish people, I like sci-fi, which is outlandish, comics, Frank Frazetta. I just like that type of stuff. All the women I do are, I've got a setting on the program I use, and it's called Voluptuous. I don't ever do stick figure women. So they're all voluptuous, they're all larger than life. Because it's not meant to be real.
No. And what about that side of it being so fantastical as well? Because it just struck me when I was, you know, I was sort of listening back to the interview and you were saying about, it was when we were talking about wear and tear on the body And you were saying that you've never really, like, really pushed yourself to get that kind of wear and tear.
Yeah.
You said you were lazy, but I'd probably say you're not lazy in lots of other ways. But perhaps physically you haven't, you know, really, really overstretched what you can do. But yet all your figures are really super physical. And and I was just interested in that sort of... you know, that kind of fantasy level of, you know, making figures that are doing what you're not doing at all.
Mm. No, it's not that deep.
No.
It really is quite shallow.
Okay.
I just like comics.
And you like the look of the pictures.
I like the look of the comics. That's why my, they call it POVs online, is the point of view. I like it being weird angles.
Yeah.
Just like a comic strip.
Yeah.
I can't bear, I had to do at school, the still life stuff. I can't bear it. It's so boring. I mean, who would want to hang that up on their wall? You know, who... I can't... I mean, I'll say this might have to be scrubbed out later, but mouth and foot people. It bores the pants off me. How many white cottages do you have to see? How many pretty little doves and robins? You know, it's little old ladies buy it out of... Not because they like it, but because they want to give to charity. It's... I can't stand it.
Yeah. So you could have really gone to, like, a contemporary art school in a way, couldn't you? And...
No, they wouldn't... I did try, but they wouldn't accept me because of, I would have needed too much help.
Right.
And stuff.
So
but on the other side of that is I'm quite pleased because I have done the history of art and stuff. And I don't think I like to get too involved with that because I like to develop, I copy comics style, but I also like to add my own style. And I think if I learnt too much of somebody else's work, would it be me? Would I be individual then? Or would I be just a clone of the person I've been studying? So there's that to it as well. But what I do is, if a friend of mine's done a great piece and I particularly like that, I will say, how did you do that? And steal ideas that way. But I don't do it in a regimented way.
What about the thalidomiders? Do they have much to say about your artwork?
They all like it.
You've done?
Yeah. Overall, they like it. Yeah. I've started doing now, getting ready for Christmas, thalidomide pictures, showing this in ridiculous situations, and I'm hoping to sell them to donate the money to the Thalidomide Society. And so far, yeah, they've all been liked. Because I try not to do it in an offensive way. I just show the ludicrous things that happen to us. And there's a lot of ludicrous things that happen to disabled people.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. No, and a lot of kind of really ludicrous attitudes as well that you know, probably come out. As somebody who's not a disabled person...
Well, you are now.
Well, I am.
Welcome
now.
To my world.
Yeah, exactly, slightly. But some of the cartoons are, I can't laugh at them at all. I mean, it's a sort of like, it's an upbringing. I can't listen to anybody using the word flid.
Really?
No, I can't, because I was brought up to absolutely never, ever say that word, ever. It's like such an offensive word to say to somebody. Same as, you know, when you know you can't say the word nigger.
Yeah.
If I say it, it sounds really offensive, you know, whereas if a black guy says it to another black guy, it sounds fine.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah. You feel as though there'd be something in you would be being really disrespectful if you said that word. When that comes up and it comes up on Facebook, I'm always like, a little bit of me just goes, no, don't say that word.
You know? Yeah.
But a lot of your cartoons I found really funny. The one I really, really like is that it's just a silly one, but it's the one, the Cambridge Diet one.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah. That was just having... I didn't know how to work it in. I was just having to go, why do they think that we look like that figure?
I know.
You know, it's nothing near.
I know.
So I just...
Yeah.
That's why I come up with that. But yeah. The girl in that one is also a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So that's what I basically do. All my characters... are actually people I know.
So who's Robo Flip then?
That was me.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah. With all my gear on.
Mm.
Mm. I'm also the anti-pat hat as well.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. One thing we didn't talk about at all really last time was what you're doing these days for the Thalidomide Society.
Right. Well, I've just taken over chairmanship of the society. And so I'm fair. In fact, I probably work more now than I ever have done. We've coined the phrase now around here, life begins at 50, because I'm doing more now than I've ever done. So I'm involved with that. I'm really quite passionate about that. I want to revamp it and get it 21st century. I don't think it's 21st century yet. And I'm being a little bit harsh to the other members, but I'm taking it more seriously and want to get things done and moving because it's a great organisation.
Mm.
It was set up for very good motives, and I don't want it to die away.
No,
and it will do if it seeps into the apathy that it has been. So I'm trying to jolly them all up a little bit. Plus I'm semi-involved with the other campaigns that the Thalidomide Trust are doing. So I go to meetings with that. Just come back from the House of Commons, which was brilliant. Really enjoyed it. I was like a little kid going around there. And then I'm doing my cartoon work for Disability Now. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Before you took over the chairmanship of the Thalidomide Society, were you on the board... anyway?
Yes. I'd been on the board for about a year and a bit.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe come up for 2 years. And I had been in the past for short spaces of time. Never thought of taking over chair, but it was suggested to me by a number of people. And initially I thought I couldn't do it. Because when you're an outsider to it, you think... there's a lot of work going on here, and then when you get inside it, you realise that there's a lot of talk going on and not a lot of action. That might have to be cut as well. But basically it's true.
And what things you said about sort of revamping it and making things more 21st century? In what way can you say anything about that without obviously saying anything that you will want to cut later?
No, I've actually said it to them. I suppose it's coming from an artistic eye. The whole look of the paperwork, what's sent out, what's in the paperwork being sent out, is rather sort of old school. We're now wanting zippy and, you know, like everything is now. Everything is, for want of a better word, funky. I'm using in my head the role model of the dwarf organisation. I think they're called Little People or something organisation.
Right, yeah.
They've moved with the times, and their literature is interesting. The way they portray it is interesting, and you know that this is an organisation that's going somewhere. Our one, up until recently, looked like an organisation that had been somewhere. So I want to revamp it. It's not easy, but I think we'll get there.
Yeah. And you'll have a lot to do with things like organising the AGMs and that sort of thing in the future.
Yeah. Also, I think one of my personal skills is not actually doing the stuff, but I'm good at delegating.
Yeah.
I find people's strengths. And their weaknesses, and then you play to them. So you get the right people doing the right jobs. For a long time on the society, the board of trustees have turned up to meetings but not done a lot else. And I said to them at my very first meeting a while back that it's all going to change, and that let it be known that from now on, if you go on the board of trustees, it's not going to be an easy ride.
Mm.
So I'm getting delegating people, because there's a lot of skill amongst the Thilina Miners.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
They're quite a diverse mob, and they can bring a lot to the society.
Mm.
So I'm finding out their strengths and trying to get them to on board. Mm.
Mm. That's good. And now we can do anecdotes.
Ah.
So, you said. Because I really enjoyed your other anecdotes, actually. And you've got a couple of new ones here that you've just sort of mentioned. One is about your dad teaching you to swim.
Ah, yeah.
Can we hear about that?
Yeah. Again, at an early age. My dad didn't treat me any different to anybody else, and it was my time to learn to swim. And the first experience stopped me swimming for ages, because he took us to our local pool and he was carrying me, because I was very young, walking down the steps into the child's pool. He slipped and literally threw me up in the air. He fell and sat down on the steps. I was thrown literally into the pool, never having been in a pool before in my life. I went straight down, and this young girl, who must have been about 12 or 13, saved me and brought me back to my dad. And, it's quite a while after that before I trusted him to take me into the pool again. And I was right not to trust him to take me into the pool again, because whenever he did, once I did learn to swim, he was always, he'd be looking around to see how other people were doing, while I'd be sort of face down drowning. So I really didn't have he used to say to me, "You haven't got any faith in me, have you?" And I used to say, "No, I haven't.
No,
because I'm not breathing. So no, I haven't got a lot of faith in you."
As you lay dying.
Yeah, as I'm being pumped out. I really don't trust you to do this.
Yeah.
But he used to have a lot of, think I could do more than I could. And as it turned out, I proved him right, I couldn't do it. So I was always in a bit of a state. And then I got noticed by, at the local pool, they had a thing called the Dolphin Club, which was for disabled people. And I only wanted to go down there to have fun, like any other kid. I didn't want to join anything. But my dad thought it was a good idea that I join this Dolphin Club with other disabled people. And then they had special sessions on a Sunday. So, yeah, you go down on a Sunday and have a good time. And then it got, you had to join the team, competitive. And, I mean, I'm nicknamed Bob, because that's all I do in the water. I just bob up and down. I flap around a little bit. I can move in some kind of direction. If there's a wave, I'm gone. You know, I couldn't really swim. Well, I floated. I floated in style.
Could you move, though?
Oh, yeah, I could move, but
so you
nothing.
You could move from one side to the other?
Like, yeah, like, yeah, like I've done 25 metres and all that lot.
Oh,
over a period of time.
Mm.
But I was more like driftwood.
Mm.
Which was okay, I didn't mind that. Mm. But they put me into swimming events, which was ridiculous. But it was like, it was back in the days when it was like the Special Olympics, that everybody got a medal. I mean, I've got countless medals for swimming.
Yeah.
God knows why, I never won anything. You know, there was the turning up medal, there was the coming 87th medal, you know, and it was my introduction into patronisation. So I just had enough. I said, no, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah,
this is silly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm nothing like the Olympic swimmers that you see. So after that, on holidays, I'd swim or float.
Mm.
And that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And now, do you swim at all now?
No, I haven't been swimming for ages,
yeah.
Years.
Yeah, that's that side of things with the sort of patronising, you know, let's give them all a medal and they'll all be happy. It must get quite wearing after a while.